Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Religion would not even be an issue except for the Bible.
Before we get carried away, let's read our Bibles now.
I can assure you there are millions of Christians who did not take parts of the Bible literally.
Forfeit all claims to your own authority. Stand without apology on the only authority that matters, which is the authority of God Himself entrusted to us in His Word.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So this is what happened to Tucker Carlson.
Do you think the presence of evil is kickstarting people to wonder about the good?
That's what happened to me.
That's what happened to you?
Oh, yeah. I had a direct experience with it.
This is Wretched Radio. Tucker Carlson, who as of late has been very interested in reading his Bible. In fact, he's read through it several times. What kickstarted that? The answer appears to be what Tucker Carlson described as a demonic attack. In the middle of the night, he was being interviewed by John Hears of First Things Foundation. It appears it's a documentary movie called ChristianitiesMovie.com. And Tucker Carlson, who I have to tell you, this dude, he confuses me sometimes. Because I just, if I do like a word association with Tucker Carlson, I see two things. A blue blazer and penny loafers. The guy just seems like totally East Coast prep-like to me. But he's an outdoorsman. And he hunts this particular movie and the clip that you're only going to be able to listen to because this is radio. Yes, it's insights like that that allow me to keep my job. Tucker Carlson, he's just a hunter. And he's an outdoor guy. And he was being interviewed in the woods by John Hears, and he was willing to share what the media just jumped all over. The media doesn't typically jump over anything spiritual by nature. And that's just like a plague to them. But they jumped all over this Tucker Carlson clip because it had to do with the supernatural. Tucker Carlson claiming, "I got mauled in the middle of a night by a demon." And that's what started him on his journey of reading the Bible. Question, what happened to Tucker Carlson that night?
In the milieu of journalism or just?
Nope. In my bed at night. And I got attacked while I was asleep with my wife and four dogs in the bed and mauled. Physically mauled.
In a spiritual attack by a demon?
Yep. In a spiritual attack by a demon. And if you're saying, well, that can't happen, I would turn your attention to Mark chapter 9. We see Jesus doing a trifold healing. Unlike so many of the medications advertised on TV these days that have all kinds of side effects. Although I've noticed that there are two maladies that they're becoming a thing. They're just becoming a thing. Skin issues. I think Skyrizi, Sclera, something like that. And I just saw a third one. And I thought skin issues must be a challenge. And I wonder, has that always been the case? Or is that kind of a new deal? Because the other malady that I've seen that scientists are trying to address are peanut allergies. How did that happen? When did suddenly everybody get allergic to peanuts? Seriously, we should be asking the question. Why? Why has this happened? Why? See, when I was a kid, I remember peanut allergies at my school. I know I'm not George Barna, so I haven't pulled every single school for all time. But my school, there was one kid who said he had a peanut allergy. And it got cured that afternoon on the playground when he got beat up. We just never heard about it again. But apparently there's been a proliferation of peanut allergies. And I think one of the reasons that has been put forward as the explanation for the proliferation of peanut allergies is that we're not feeding peanut butter to kids at a young age. And so somehow they don't develop the whatever it is you develop to not be allergic to it. Something has changed, I was reading an article, I think it was by John Stone Street of Breakpoint. He was talking about the trend of transgenderism. Why is this? Oh, here it is right here. Okay. Yes, gender confusion is socially contagious. We should be asking questions. Why are we seeing a proliferation of children that think that they're a different gender? Here's from the article. Psychologist and author Jean Twenge explained a new paper she and two colleagues published on the explosion of gender confusion. They analyzed government data on 2 million adults since 2014, and they found transgender identification in the general population has increased by, drumroll please, 70%. Are you kidding? 70%? That should be like Diwali, where the fireworks are going off. And wow, has it been a prolific Diwali around here. 4 days. If you don't live in a community where there are a lot of Indian people, you don't know what I'm talking about. Jimmy, you're nodding your head. You heard all the fireworks?
Oh, yes.
Woo, they were going Diwali crazy this year. The dogs love it, by the way. It has increased transgenderism 70%. What? Especially 18 to 25-year-olds skyrocketed. In a decade, the share of American young people identifying as transgender quintupled. Quintupled. And by the way, interestingly, it's just the girls. Not that we can identify one gender or another, but nevertheless, the question is, why? And the conclusion of Twenge and these other psychologists is social contagion. They're seeing it. They're being goaded online. They're being told, you've got this, then you've got to have that. Okay, so I'm spending a little time with my daughter, and we got into a bit of a, and when I say heated dispute, believe me, it wasn't like we were angry at each other, but Jimmy, you know Emily.
Oh, I would be angry at her.
And we were talking about overhead lights and that she likes lamps. And then she said, which, by the way, is one of the signs that you're on the spectrum. And I said, wait, what? Because you like lamp light, which is definitely warmer than overhead light. I don't care if you're talking fluorescent or can lighting. It's just warmer. I can walk by a house and I can tell they've got lamps on. That just feels good in there. And she said, well, that's just one of the signs. And for some reason, I found myself, and she called me on it. I was actually getting agitated by it. It's like, okay, hold on a second. It might actually be that autistic people have a sensitivity to overhead light. But that doesn't mean if you prefer lamps over overhead light, that you're on the spectrum. And I hate that secular psychiatry does that. They just label everybody, putting them on the spectrum so that they can be diagnosed and typically medicated. We should be asking some questions about why this. There's another one. Why is it that we see so many people diagnosed with autism? Is it because there's been historic underreporting? Or is something happening out there? I don't know the answer, and I'm not going to start flying a black helicopter, but it does seem strange. And so it is with gender confusion. Factors known to fuel social contagion today are social devices and social media. A 2020 study in the UK found that transgender-identified persons are over 5 times more likely to have autism, 6 times more likely to have ADHD, 4 times more likely to have depression, 5 times more likely to have bipolar disorder and OCD. In other words, these groups are more susceptible to social contagion than the general population. And they go online and they're told, oh, you've got this symptom, therefore you're trans. That's evil. That is evil. When Jesus encountered a father and a son who was demon-possessed, he was able to heal the boy totally, completely. He was deaf, he was mute, and he was demon-possessed. And Jesus healed him. And the details, wow. Matthew doesn't focus on it. I think Matthew's point in his sharing of this story is synoptically shared in Luke chapter 9, Matthew chapter 17, and Mark chapter 9. You have different perspectives on it. Matthew, I think, is trying to focus on faith, the faith of the lacking faith of the people, the lacking faith of the father, the total lack of faith by the scribes, and the little faith of the 9 disciples who couldn't heal the boy. But in Mark, he gives these details. When Jesus came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them. The scribes were disputing with them. And he saw them, and he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing? Why are you fighting with my disciples?" Then one of the crowd answers and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a moot spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples to cast him out, but they couldn't do it." That's when Jesus expresses his heart. He's not being peevish. He's kind of just, how long? So he asked the Father, "How long has this been happening?" He said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do nothing, have compassion on us," or if you can do anything, rather, "have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said, "If? If I can help you?" That was kind of rhetorical. What do we learn from this? Demon activity is real. Now, I don't know what happened that night to Tucker Carlson, but I wouldn't take demonic activity off of the table because I don't read anywhere in the Bible that that activity stopped at any point in time. So let us hear from Tucker Carlson himself. Was he really mauled by a demon? Next on Wretched Radio.
What good is having a bank account with millions of dollars if you never use it? Well, the same is true with theology. Having Bible knowledge without applying it to your life is like having wealth you never spend. That's why we created Integrated with Dr. John Kreitz.
Every single person in the church is a ministry opportunity. You don't have to have a job to be engaging in ministry. You just have to have a heart to be a blessing to your brothers and sisters in the church. Stir them up and encourage them.
Stop letting powerful biblical truths sit idle in your mind. Let Dr. John Kreitz show you how to integrate God's Word into every area of your life. Integrated, a new production from Fortis Institute. It's available now on Fortis Plus and all major podcast platforms. It's produced by Fortis Institute, and you can learn more about Dr. John Kreitz and Integrated at fortisinstitute.org.
Just when you think that this organization can't be any more fine, the Masters Academy International, this is a ministry worthy of your consideration and support. Training indigenous pastors now in 17 nations around the globe to efficiently equip men who speak the language, know their communities, know the culture, to rightly divide the word of truth and fill empty pulpits. It is brilliant, it is wise, and it is efficient. Please consider supporting the Masters Academy International, wretched.org/pastor. But if that doesn't persuade you, they're dedicating a week of prayer and they're inviting you to join them in praying for indigenous pastors who are under a great deal of pressure and even threats. Please give your consideration to the Masters Academy International at wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You ever notice how many voices are just clamoring for your attention these days? It seems like every week there's a new theological trend, another fresh interpretation of the Bible. Well, that's exactly why we've launched Fortis Institute. Drawing from 1 Corinthians 15:58, we're committed to helping you stand firm. Through Fortis Plus, you're going to get free access to 7 new pieces of audio and video content every single day, hundreds of hours of biblical content, exclusive director's cuts. But here's the thing, we're only able to continue providing this fortress of truth with the support of faithful gospel partners just like you. Your monthly gifts help us reach millions of people all over the world with the uncompromising biblical truth of God's Word. So if you're ready to stand firm with us, just visit us at fortisinstitute.org and become an ongoing monthly gospel partner today. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 270 AD. A wealthy young man named Antony gives away his possessions and begins life as a hermit. Disciples follow his example, and the first monastic movement began. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
In a spiritual attack by a demon?
Yeah, by a demon.
Hey! Whoa! With the firearm, this is Wretched Radio. Tucker Carlson being interviewed by John Hears of First Things Foundation, ChristianitiesMovie.com. We see Tucker Carlson with his earphones on, killing something with his rifle, and talking about a night about a year and a half ago where he claims that he was mauled in the middle of the night by a demon. Here are the deets.
Or by something unseen that left...
Is that right?
Claw marks on my sides, on my...
So he left physical marks.
Oh, they're still there. Yeah. A year and a half ago.
Now, we would ask the question, was he really mauled by a demon? And the answer is very possibly. Why? Because Jesus dealt with demons. We see him healing, casting out demons throughout the Gospels. We see in Matthew chapter 10, he actually gives the disciples the authority to go and exorcise demons. Incidentally, Luke chapter 10, they come marching back saying, they obey. It works. We use your name and we're able to cast out demons, which is interesting because in Matthew chapter 17, they're not able to cast out the demon that is in a little boy who's mute and deaf because of it. And Mark chapter 9 describes the violent activity of these demons inside of people. Now, I'm anxious, and maybe it exists already, can't wait to hear it, but perhaps somebody in biblical counseling world has done a bit of an exploration. There are some maladies of which where sometimes these behaviors can take place. What the DM5 would call mental disorders, sometimes they're very similar to the behavior of demons inside of somebody. In Mark chapter 9, the demon was violent, throwing him down into the fire. They're nasty. And can they leave marks? And the answer is, yeah, clearly. And so we have to ask the question, does the Bible ever put an expiration date on demon activity? And the answer to that question is no. Now, I don't know all of the details of what happened to Tucker Carlson that night, but I would say there is no reason to discount the option that, yeah, he had a special visitor one night.
Was your wife terrified? I know you were.
I wasn't. I was totally confused. I woke up and I couldn't breathe and I thought I was going to suffocate. And I walked around outside and then I walked in and my wife and dogs had not woken up and they're very light sleepers. And then I had these terrible pains on my rib cage and on my shoulder. And I was just in my boxer shorts and I went and flipped on the light in the bathroom and I had four claw marks on either side underneath my arms and on my left shoulder. And they're bleeding.
I got to tell you, despite the media representation, this does not sound like a man who is a wild-eyed fanatic. This does not sound like a man who is starting a cult. This sounds like a man who had some sort of experience in the middle of a night. And it appears to have set him on a trajectory to figure out what in the world happened.
Wait, they were bleeding.
They were bleeding, yeah. No, actual claw marks. And I sleep on my side, so I wasn't clawing myself.
Okay, could it have been the dogs? Sure. I guess if there's physical evidence that something happened, do you have a better explanation for it?
I don't have long nails. and they didn't fit my hands anyway. But yeah, that happened. So I'm not from a world where things like that happen. I never heard of anything like that happening before. I had no idea what that was.
It could be because we live in the West. I think Tucker Carlson... It comes out of the Episcopalian denomination. So demonic activity, spiritual warfare probably isn't discussed much, nor is really any of the Bible discussed much in the Episcopalian denomination. But this type of activity typically doesn't happen in the West. I've had people disagree with me. Nevertheless, I kind of think there's some truth to the maxim that the demons, they manifest themselves differently in different parts of the world because of the particular cultural context. In the West, just like the press has proven, oh, Tucker's nuts. That's just crazy stuff. Go to a country where this happens regularly. They don't think it's nuts. Now, does that mean demons aren't active here? Oh, they most certainly are. How they go about the business of doing their business, I think it can vary based on zip code.
knew it was spiritual immediately.
You did. Okay, that was going to be my question.
Yeah. I don't understand to this day. I'm not going
to
put it.
You didn't try to refute the spiritual part in your own mind. You went right into the.
Well, it didn't make any sense, and right. It doesn't now. But I'm not from a, what do they call it, faith tradition
right. That
talks about things like that or even acknowledges their existence. Like, there's nothing like that. I've never heard anybody say anything like that in my whole life.
Again, not a shocker coming from Episcopalianism.
What was the next day like?
Well, the next morning I woke up and I thought that was the weirdest dream I've ever had. And then I saw blood on my sheets and I realized that was not a dream at all. I called my assistant, who was like the only evangelical Christian I know, you know, well enough to call with something bizarre like that.
Well, Tucker, we got to get you some more evangelical friends.
Totally bizarre like that. And she said, oh yeah, no, that happens. Yeah, people are attacked in their bed by demons. What?
He's got the best laugh.
I'm telling you, it's infectious, isn't it?
What are you even talking about? Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not leaving anything out, and I'm not pretending to understand that. I can only say what happened to me and that did happen to me. And then I was seized with this very intense desire to read the Bible.
That would explain it, wouldn't it? Because increasingly, if you've followed Tucker at all, you've noticed he's having way more conversations about Christ, way more conversations about Christianity in the Bible. He seems to be showing a genuine interest. I don't know. In fact, I don't know that anybody who would even sit down with Tucker to explore this could say definitively this is what happened. But I do know this, that God used it to set him exploring. And it's coming out of Tucker regularly.
Which I then started without any study aids or anything. I bought a Bible that didn't have any. I'm not interested in editorializing in the Bible. I just want to read it and see what's in there myself.
Oh, well, Jimmy, if you'd make a note that to send Tucker a MacArthur study Bible.
Will do.
I'm just saying he'd like that one.
I have very low levels of trust for Christian pastors, most of whom, you know, I'm just not a fan at all. And sorry.
I think that was past tense, I think.
They say that, but that's how I feel.
Well, maybe and it's so present.
I don't want to hear other people's opinions. I just want to see what's in there.
Good for him.
So I spent a year and a half reading it, and then I started rereading it. And it was just a transformative experience for me, but I'm not, you know, holding myself out as someone from whom you could get theological advice because I'm
sure,
not.
Of course.
I don't know. I don't understand any of it, but yeah, that happened.
God allowed the demon?
God doesn't. Correctly understood, allow anything. He ordains everything.
I have no idea what happened. All I know is I was dead asleep with my wife and dogs, and I woke up with claw marks on my rib cage underneath my arms. And it didn't even make sense. My arms would, anyway, whatever. I'm not, no one has to believe me. I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
But that happened to me. And so I just was like, wow, that's real. Whatever that is, I'm even not sure what it is.
It's
but
very real. And so then that presence of that evil launches something.
Indeed it did. Tucker Carlson, gotta tell you, that guy, there's something, okay, the word charming. He's just kind of like, I like that guy because he laughs quickly and he really doesn't care what anybody thinks about him. And I do appreciate just going directly to the text without getting any sort of influence. Now, that doesn't mean I still don't commend the MacArthur Study Bible, but he's trying to sort it and he's trying to figure it out. And whatever happened to him that night, I don't know. Could there be some sort of an explanation where, you know, his wife was having a nightmare and she somehow scratched him? Okay, but she didn't see, nobody recalls that. The dogs? I think you'd remember if a dog were mauling you in the middle of a night. I know that in the West, any sort of demonic activity, it does seem foreign to us. And I still hold that it's because they do behave, I think, more sophisticatedly, more subtly than they do in other places in the world where their activity, this would not be considered weird at all if you go to, say, Africa. This is not bizarre. You go to these places where demons have very little sort of Christian, might I say, restraining influence. They just run rampant. And we do not have any indication from the Bible that that sort of activity has discontinued. Now, here's something that might be interesting to ponder, and I guess we'll find out, depending on who wins the election or in the years ahead. Might we see more of this? As we are continuing to see that we are having a diminished influence in culture, it appears that God is lifting his protective hand over a nation he has blessed so much, where Christianity is ebbing. Could it be that we're going to see more of this activity that is overt? You could maybe argue we are seeing it manifest itself in all kinds of sexual ways. But I'm wondering, if we are indeed living in a post-Christian world, might it be that Tucker Carlson isn't going to be the only one to experience something like this? This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, the irony would be laughable if it weren't so tragic. Starting in Canada, Alberta, that is, a teenage girl needs parental permission for a dental cleaning, but she can get an abortion without her parents even knowing they're losing a grandchild. Pro-life groups are calling on Premier Danielle Smith to close this deadly loophole and require parental consent for all major medical decisions. And she has done that in some areas, as she's finally drawn the line in the sand against gender ideology when she introduced legislation to ban transgender surgery on minors. And while the rest of North America races to mutilate children in the name of progress, there's one leader out there remembering that protecting children isn't optional. Now to San Diego. At UC San Diego, freshmen are getting an expensive lesson in conformity. The university now requires all incoming students to take climate change courses, regardless of their major. Because, you know, nothing says higher education like mandatory ideology masquerading as science. Missouri pro-lifers are taking their message on the road, organizing a convoy to protest Amendment 3, which is a radical proposal that would allow abortion up to birth. And when the media in your state is not telling the truth of what's at stake, sometimes you've got to take measures into your own hands. In what they're calling a copy editing error, a transgender activist organization sent thousands of texts to Pennsylvania voters falsely claiming they had already voted. It's kind of funny, number one, how these electoral mistakes seem to always benefit one side, even stranger in how they always seem to happen right before an election. And even more stranger, how is this even a text message that a transgender activist organization has any business compiling? And out of Britain, the birthplace of the Magna Carta, where they've now made it illegal to pray silently near abortion facilities. And this new buffer zone law just proves what pro-lifers have long suspected. This was never about protecting women. It was about silencing truth. And now back to Canada and the brave new world of state-sanctioned death, where one doctor suggested to her cancer patient that euthanasia might be God's tool to end suffering. Somehow medical school now qualifies you to give spiritual advice, just as long as that advice leads to fewer patients. And finally, we end with a little bit of good news. A Michigan mom named Amy Schmidt had to skip Halloween because her son was hospitalized. And so neighborhood children turned trick-or-treating upside down. Instead of taking candy from her door, they left their own. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I am Jimmy Hicks. And if you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to be a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is mercy. Those who possess this gift are able to show compassion and comfort the afflicted, people who are sick, dying, or bereaved. God cares about the things that afflict us and has provided comfort in troubled times. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
To tell, senor, this is Wretched Radio. Come on, give the deets. During the break, Jimmy said, I've seen it. What have you seen? We're talking about Tucker Carlson claiming he was attacked by a demon in the middle of the night. And you said you saw Tucker Carlson get mauled by a demon?
No. I wasn't there. But I feel like I've seen demonic activity. I don't know any other way to explain it.
Because it's weird.
Yeah, it is. And the first time I went to Nicaragua.
See, that I don't know what you're going to say, but that undergirds my contention that demons behave differently in different zip codes. Mm-hmm. South America, they don't do this in Wall Street. That's just like, oh, we don't do, they've got different schemes and they go about the business of deceiving, I think, differently and in more sophisticated ways here. But in some places where there's very little gospel, I think they're very overt. And they're more than willing to behave in a Mark 9 kind of way, casting people down, throwing them into the fire, and even mauling them. So you're in Nicaragua.
Uh-huh.
And
so they're the trained pastors, and the men and the women are separated. And we just started on the first day. I mean, within the first 30, 45 minutes. And the women, a couple of the women come running over. We're next door to each other and say, you've got to come down here. So we go next door and there is this woman in she's screaming and hollering at the top of her lungs, spit coming out of her mouth.
Wait, hold on a second, though. It could have just been some sort of NAR worship service.
No, it wasn't that. Nope. Trust me.
Okay,
no.
Sorry.
But she's going back and forth with the pastor of that church. And she came to the conference to sit under the teaching. And the ladies say when they began, she was marking on the paper that they handed out. Is that the right way to say it? But she just increasingly just more angry and angry, marking on it, scribbling on it. And before she got up and just started screaming and cussing. That's what the pastor said. She was just cussing.
Did you hear her?
I could hear, but I didn't understand what she was saying.
Did she sound weird?
Yes, it just was. It was a really odd experience.
It wasn't like her normal voice.
No. I don't think so.
Okay, so you threw some holy water on her. No, what happened next?
No, I stood back in amazement. I had never seen anything like that.
The boy from Tennessee found himself right. In a different environment.
She finally left, though. But the pastor said that she was saying things like, get out of my town. You don't belong here. That type of stuff.
And I you know what? I don't doubt it for two reasons. Anecdotally, I remember a number of years ago, I was invited to debate Dan Barker from the Freedom from Religion Foundation at the University of Minnesota. It was promoted by atheists, so there were some Christians there, but there were a lot of unbelievers who were obviously looking for some red meat. And my buddy David Wheaton, he attended. And afterward, he said to me, I think we went out to eat in St. Louis Park. The point is, he asked, did you hear it? And I said, did I hear what? He goes, the sounds that were coming out of people. Now, it was a pretty big auditorium, and so I maybe didn't hear it, or I was just concentrating really hard, listening to what Dan Barker was spewing. But he said it was like these gurgling, like demonic noises. Huh? Why? Well, I was representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was all about the business of proclaiming the gospel. I did not care to get into a debate about the origin of the universe and creation and evolution. I wanted to preach the gospel because I knew that there would be unbelievers there who would be cheering on Dan Barker. Is it possible? That's what was happening. Anecdote number two, whilst you were speaking, I was multitasking. This is titled, John MacArthur Encounters a Demon. He's seen it too.
This is a rare thing. I've preached the gospel for a long time. Only about three times in my whole life have I ever heard demons speak, been confronted. One of them was a few weeks ago. I told you about last week, right down here in the front, when a demon-possessed person came running down the aisle after I was preaching gospel, exalting Christ's power over the kingdom of darkness, came at me and said, why are you attacking me? Why are you trying to hurt me? Which is exactly what the demon said here.
That sounds like the Nicaragua experience, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it was some years ago when I had first come to Grace. We had built the family center and we were having services there before we built this facility. It was a Sunday night, and after the service was over, I was over having some food with somebody from the church, and I got a call from Jerry Mitchell, who was here a few weeks ago. He was on the staff at the time. He said, you got to come down here, John. I got a girl in here who's got all kinds of demon voices. He'd never experienced anything like this, and I never had either. And I said, well, I don't know if I can be much help, but I'll come right down. So I came down, I walked in, and there was chaos in the office. It was over in the building by the family center. And I walked in and the place was in disarray. And it was obvious that she had been terrorizing things. She had overturned the desk. And
they get strong, by the way, people who are possessed by demons.
Poor Jerry, who was a boxer in the Navy, was having a hard time defending himself against this girl. And that is characteristic of the New Testament accounts where there's a certain level of strength that's beyond normal.
That's what I said, John.
And I'll never forget the greeting when I walked in the door. I walked in the door and this out of this girl's mouth, whom I had met and with whom I had spoken because she'd been coming to the church, came this voice, and I can't obviously replicate it, but in my memory, it was, I know what the voice said. It's something like, not him, not him, not him, get him out, get him out, get him out, to me.
Okay, John, you just creeped me out. I never thought I'd say that, but that was just creepy.
Well, my first reaction was, I'm leaving. I'm not sure I'm up to this. Wow. And my second reaction was, they know who I am and they know whose side I'm on. That's very affirming. It was affirming. I sort of started feeling apostolic. Paul I know and Jesus I know and John MacArthur, you know. Wow. Amazing. I don't think that demon was afraid of me humanly. I don't have any human power to deal with demons. In fact, Jerry and I didn't know what to do. We started trying to send the demons away.
Yep. That's what we see these days in some circles. The demon caster, there's all kinds of books that have been written on the subject and to come up with some sort of formula. Here's the formula. Demons cannot cohabitate with the Holy Spirit. You preach the gospel, you share the gospel, and the demon has to scoot because the Holy Spirit does not accept roommates. And I think, Jimmy, that's what was happening in your church. The truth was being preached. The demon didn't like it.
Right.
At that debate, the gospel was being proclaimed, and the demons didn't like it. Ditto with John MacArthur.
We sent them everywhere you could think of. The pit, the abyss, Phoenix, anywhere hot, you know? And the bottom line is they didn't go anywhere. And so we just were praying and saying, you know, this isn't working. This casting out thing isn't working. I'm not Jesus and we're not apostles and we don't have authority over that kingdom. There's only one way that this girl will ever be delivered, and that is when Christ delivers her in the act of salvation.
Amen.
So we wrestled her, literally physically trying to restrain her and get her in a chair, and she was so exhausted physically, finally calmed down, and we gave her the gospel, and she confessed her sin. I'll never forget it. Just really gushed out her sin before the Lord and embraced Jesus Christ, and then it was just this calm that came everywhere. There was deliverance. Nothing to do with me, nothing to do with a formula, nothing to do with an exorcism, nothing to do with that at all. That is not what deals with demons. She needed to be delivered from the kingdom of darkness. You understand that? She was. The demon was terrified of me, not because of something I could do in the human. The demon was terrified of me because the demon connected me with the message of the gospel. And the demon knew that if the gospel came to this girl and she believed it, he was finished. And that's exactly what happened. She was as clean as a driven snow after that, never had another occasion of that kind of terrifying experience.
How cool is that? That's pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? You do have power, but it is not intrinsic. It is external. It's a foreign power. It resides in the person of Jesus Christ. You do have the ability to see demons vamoose, not because you bibbidi-bobbidi-boo them, you sprinkle them with holy water and their skin goes, psh, psh, I'm melting. No, you preach the gospel. And if the individual gets regenerated by the Holy Spirit, demon be gone. It's like stain removal. Demon be gone. They go away because the Holy Spirit indwells the person. Do you really see and imagine the Holy Spirit bumping elbows with a demon? They've got to go. So you're not powerless, but that power, it's not of you. We are not given the apostolic authority to cast out demons, but that does not mean that we can't still deal with them. very, very carefully. And I'm not sure respectfully is the right word, but we need to understand we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Spiritual powers and principalities, and they are powerful. Ask the seven sons of Sceva. They got ripped up when they were pretenders to claiming that they could cast out demons. So we don't play. We don't taunt. We don't act like, well, we've got this under control. We preach the gospel. People get saved, demons be gone. This is Wretched Radio. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Marriage and parenting, they're not for the faint of heart. And in a fallen world, those sacred callings can feel overwhelming. Maybe you're struggling with communication. Maybe your kids seem a bit out of control. Maybe you're just trying to keep your head above water. But here's the truth. Your home wasn't designed just to survive.
It takes robust, very alive, well-fed faith to have a marriage that thrives.
Join Pastor Brad Bigney, who spent over 3 decades as a biblical counselor, helping thousands of couples and families move from barely surviving to truly thriving. Each episode of Thrive tackles real issues with biblical wisdom, from resolving conflicts to rekindling romance to raising godly children in an ungodly world. Don't settle for survival mode. Listen to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, available now on Fortis Plus or your favorite podcast platforms. You can find out more about Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive at FortisInstitute.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or, of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these 3 questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Speaking of demons, have you voted yet? See what I did right? This is Wretched Radio. I hope you vote. I do. I understand your disappointment. I understand we do not have an ideal situation, but I really do wonder if we ever really have. Perhaps better to a degree, but anytime we put our hope in horses and chariots, we are bound to be disappointed. And I know a lot of evangelicals are very disappointed right now, and they feel like, I'm just going to pass on the whole shebang. I would encourage you not to do that. So many people have bled and died so that we can participate in this system. And you can make a little bit of a difference. I know it's not a lot, but you can make a difference. I think it got headlines. Some pastor said, what we're seeing coming out of this progressive wing of the political realm in America, it's demonic. Yeah, it is demonic. How else do you explain this? They want to boast about abortion? This is like the lead. This is what it used to be. I'm going to bring gas prices down. I'm going to have a strong military. Today, what do we hear? We want to kill more children so that you can live any way that you want. It's unbelievable. It is the tip of the Democratic spear. What else can we say about what is happening and what they're promoting and what they're seeking to do? It is nothing short of demonic. Actually, Jimmy, I've got, this was from PresbyCast. What's a presby? I've never heard of such a thing as a presby. Suppose that's short for anything. Number one, there is little at this point you can do to affect the outcome of the election except to vote. Two, God is sovereign and will not be surprised by any outcome. Oh, please get that buried into your heart. Please, you're going to need it. If this thing goes haywire again, you're going to need to know that God is the Lord of hosts and he reigns and he rules. He's not freaking out. He's not in a panic. I was thinking about if God sneezed, if God just ever took his attention off of the universe just for a nanosecond, the whole thing would implode. Do we think that he's not aware of the election that's happening in the United States and that he's going to wait for the election result? How preposterous is that? That God is waiting for the election results. Now, I know open theists might say, sounds good to me, but I don't see that being the God of the Bible who knows the beginning from the end, who ordains everything. There isn't a rogue molecule. All right, kind of a related thought, not identical, but it might encourage you. Was thinking about how kind God is with us, how patient he is. I was thinking about a mom or a dad with their beloved children and how sometimes we can be so short or dismissive of them. I'm trying to get dressed in here. Can you just go away? Or can I please just put on my makeup without being disturbed by you? Jesus will never say that to you, ever. Jesus will never hear your prayers that as he receives them on his throne and go, not now. I saw what you just did. I know how faithless you've been. Not now. He will never, ever do that to you. Why? Because our God cares for us. Received a text from a buddy talking about loneliness and how awful it is. Aren't we seeing that epidemic these days? And we don't like it. I mean, people to varying degrees are more or less social, but nobody, I mean, I think it's a little strange if you really do want to be on an island without Simon and Garfunkel just all by yourself, like Gilbert O'Sullivan. I don't ever want to see another person for as long as I live, and I'd be totally content. I think that would be a little bit strange. I think we all sense what it's like to be lonely. Now, consider the leper. Consider the leper in Israel, first century. Do you think he's lonely? I'll bet he was, because he's a total outcast. People didn't touch him. People didn't even talk to him. He was a total outcast. And what do we see our Savior do with that leper? Did he talk to him? Check. Did he touch him? Double check. Even though it made Jesus ceremonially unclean, our tender Savior touched a leper. Do you think that Jesus is somehow going to let this spin so out of control that he can't get a handle on it, as if the election results are going to be like a California brush fire? We can't stop it. He can stop it. He doesn't need to stop it. He's ordaining it. And we need to get that embedded into our heart. And I think there's another hard issue here, by the way. If the election does go the way that you prefer, careful, careful. Because if you do think, all is well, I think that we're deceived. because there is no way that the political realm can fix what ails this nation. All right, here's one example for your consideration. This is from Not the Bee. Kids identifying as animals is a growing trend. They're called Therians, T-H-E-R-I-A-N. Furries, they dress as cartoon animals. They get together, and it can apparently be kind of perverted, but nevertheless, Therians actually identify as animals. So furries pretend they're a cat. Therians, they actually believe it. They identify as animals spiritually and psychologically. Ask yourself the question, what politician is going to fix that? I don't care how much you love Donald Trump. He ain't going to fix that. I don't care if Ronald Reagan could be resurrected. He could not fix that. This is so much deeper and so much more profound than anything political. Do I think that Donald Trump will tap the brakes? Yeah, but that's going to be about it. This car is careening downhill. And this is just one demonstration. Therians don't typically choose which animal they identify with. It usually comes through introspection, dreams, or just a strong sense of connection to a particular animal and their characteristics. For example, a Therian who identifies as a wolf may feel strong instincts of loyalty, protectiveness, and a deep connection to nature. Wow, this is such wickedness. Oh, you have these attributes. Wolves have those attributes. Therefore, you're a wolf. That is just bonkers. And I do believe, I think we were, was this today, yesterday? What day is it? Why am I here? That we were talking about these people who are more susceptible to transgenderism because they have some sort of mental health issue. We'll use the vernacular of the secularists. They've got some sort of, they're just more vulnerable. And so they think then that they're a different gender. These people, they're struggling. This is from TikTok. It's not funny. It's really, really tragic.
I just added bug to my list of pronouns. So
I just added bug to my list of pronouns. This woman, somebody's daughter, she's got green hair. And she identifies as bug.
Here is a very quick tutorial on how to use bug's pronouns in sentences. Okay, let's go. I'm meeting up with my friend Moth later. Bug just dyed Bug's hair, and it's this super cool green color right now. I think we're going to go to Bug's house and play some video games. And then I think Bug said that Bug wanted to go to the store by Bug's self.
All right, that's just heartbreaking is what that is. Politics cannot help this woman. Politics cannot help the people who affirm this woman in her bugness. Politics cannot right crooked thinking. Only Jesus Christ can do that. A Therian who identifies as a wolf may feel strong instincts of loyalty. Ah, your loyalty? You're a wolf. This is what they're doing all the time in the mental health complex. Oh, you don't like overhead lights? You're on the autism spectrum. How's about I don't like overhead lights? I don't know. Maybe that. But just put a label on it, diagnose it, do a little category switcheroo so that these people in their confusion are self-deceived. There's just no way that politics is going to stave off the LGBTQ steamroller. It is so powerful. It is so big. Is politics going to stop all of these men who claim to be Christians from watching pornography? No doubt, if you follow anything Christian in the news, you've seen the report. The number of Christian men who claim that they watch pornography regularly, and that includes pastors. Politics ain't going to fix this. The gospel of Jesus Christ can and will. And furthermore, if you believe that you have a vocation in politics, I say you rock on. If you want to volunteer for a candidate, you rock on. You do that. Because That's what you feel is the best way to help humanity and human flourishing. But we are all commanded to do what? Go and make disciples. That has always been the mandate. And that is the only thing that will fix this wicked civilization that we're living in. Now go vote. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.